The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Well, I hope you had a nice weekend. I certainly did. One of the things that we've been talking a great deal about over the last month or two has been squatters, the continued problem with squatting, and all of the difficulties that the rightful owners of properties have had trying to get these people out. In some cases, even hiring folks to, at great expense, by the way, to get them out. Well, New York is doing something that I think is a positive. Seven little words were added to New York state law in the recently passed state budget, and it both weakens the power of squatters and gives homeowners a sense of security. The legal change now clearly states that, quote, a tenant shall not include a squatter, close quote. Thereby, with those seven words, stripping squatters of their tenant rights and making it easier for police to remove them without forcing the owner to resolve the issue in housing court, a process that can take years and expensive legal fees. The passage of the law in the state budget can largely be attributed to two elected officials in Northeast Queens who introduced legislation earlier this month after seeing a rise in squatters cases across Queens. They are State Senator John Liu of Bayside and Assemblymember Ron Kim of Flushing. Both of them introduced laws in their respective chambers to formally define squatters as separate from tenants earlier this month. While their bills were just getting started, Governor Kathy Hochul took note and signed off on a housing law that included language from their legislation. I think this is a big win for New Yorkers, and kudos to Senator Liu, Assemblymember Kim, Governor Hochul, and everybody that played a role in making this change possible. Now, what's a squatter? The legislation defines squatters as those who take over private property without permission of the owner, the owner's agent, or another person entitled to possession of the property. The law previously allowed squatters to claim tenants' rights after residing on the property for 30 days without needing proof of a lease. I think this is going to help a lot of people and avoid a lot of potential heartache for people, a lot of potential turmoil, potentially even allowing them to avoid some potential violence. Way to go, everybody that had a role in making this happen. It's a shame that we needed to go to these lengths in order to do so.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. I was born on Staten Island, but both of my parents, like a lot of people that came to reside on Staten Island, were from Brooklyn. And my parents would tell me stories of how when they were very young, they would take the ferry from Brooklyn over to Staten Island when they needed to come out there for something. I never really had that experience growing up in Staten Island. I would take the ferry, but I would take it to Manhattan, never to Brooklyn. Why? Because for decades, they have done away with the ferry from Staten Island to Brooklyn and back. Pretty much around the time that the Verrazano Narrows Bridge was built, folks felt that maybe a ferry wasn't needed. Well, now, two New York City Council members, one from Staten Island and one from Brooklyn, are proposing bringing it back. Yes, that's right. Could we see a ferry connection between Staten Island and Bay Ridge, Brooklyn? At the American Veterans Memorial Pier, you see dozens of passengers climb on and off the New York City Ferry's South Brooklyn route. And in the distance, you see ferries running from St. George in Staten Island to Battery Park City and even to Midtown West. And on Friday, City Council members Camilla Hanks and Justin Brannan sent a joint letter to Mayor Eric Adams asking him to consider reinstating a long-suspended ferry route between Staten Island and Bay Ridge. There used to be ferry service that operated for about 75 years, but it was discontinued when they built the Verrazano Bridge. I have to tell you, I think this is something that residents of both boroughs want. And all of the protests that I've made about congestion pricing have to do with the fact that I live in a community that is tremendously underserved by mass transit. This would be an incredible way for the people on Staten Island to be connected to the subway system, to be able to get to Brooklyn and the other boroughs that Brooklyn is connected to without needing a car. I am all for this. I think a lot of employers in both Staten Island and Brooklyn would like this a lot. There's a lot of folks who live on Staten Island but won't take a job in Brooklyn because of the transportation difficulties, and vice versa. The infrastructure is already there, and I think this could easily be done. The ferry slips are already there. All you have to do is add a Staten Island stop to an existing ferry route and do a pilot. Let's see if it works out. Kudos to Councilmember Brannan and Councilmember Hanks for proposing this. I hope it works.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Well, some sad news for moviegoers in the boogie down Bronx. And I've spent a lot of time in the Bronx. I really like the Bronx. I have a lot of friends in the Bronx. I also am a moviegoer. I don't get to go to the movies as much as I used to, primarily because of my professional and personal commitments, but I enjoy it. I wish I could go every week. Unfortunately, I go maybe, if I'm lucky, once a year. I don't think I've been this year yet. But in any event, one of the last two commercial movie theaters in the Bronx is set to close next month, meaning the borough will have only one movie theater left. Can you imagine that? I know movie theaters have been in decline, but for a borough the size of the Bronx to only have one movie theater, I don't see how this is possible. There are all sorts of people that live in the Bronx more than live in Staten Island, and yet we have at least four or five Cineplexes on Staten Island. I think this is just terrible. So one of the last movie theaters left standing in the Bronx is going to be no more after Multiplex Cinemas announced its Concourse Plaza location will be shutting down next month. The theater first began screenings 30 years ago, but will now be closed for good on May 28th. The parent company, maybe I'll try and go to the last screening there. That might be fun. The parent company, National Amusements, says the decision was made after a lease agreement was not reached with the landlord of the property. Many Bronx residents are incredibly puzzled as to why the theater, which recently received renovations, is closing the curtain on what folks describe as a local staple. If you're not familiar with the theater, I've never been there, but I've passed it a bunch of times. The theater is located on East 161st Street, and I can't believe it's one of the last two commercial theaters in the Bronx. They're only going to have one? I think for a borough that has contributed as much to the arts and to the culture as the Bronx has, and for a borough that's filled with people that love cinema and love the arts, I think this is a potential opportunity for someone, anyone, an enterprising small business owner to open a movie theater. Like I said, I realize that movie theaters aren't the gold mine that they were 30 years ago, but I still think there's an opportunity to at least have two multiplexes. in the Boogie Down Bronx. I hope this doesn't last too long.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
This story is a bit farther upstate than I would usually focus the local spotlight, but it does deal with a New York State public official whose salary you are paying if you are a New York State taxpayer. It has to do with Monroe County District Attorney Sandra Dorley. She repeatedly ignored officer commands when stopped for speeding in a town called Webster last week, telling them she was the DA. She didn't care about the reason for the stop and that they should leave. Footage released from the town of Webster shows. Here's a little bit of it.
Sorry, okay. I didn't want to pull over unfiltered. Okay. It was just, I figured. I just pulled to my driveway.
Okay. Well,
and I called Dennis and I said, okay, that's me that they're trying to stop.
Okay.
So that's the end of story.
Okay, but you should know better, right?
I was speeding. I know that.
Okay, so why didn't you just stop like you're supposed
because
to?
Because I didn't feel like stopping unfiltered. Well,
that's not your choice. You know that.
Well, I made it my choice.
Okay. Well, now you made it a bigger deal than it needed to be.
It's a really bigger deal. And when people start coming, it's a much bigger deal.
Well, you caused that, Sandra. Well, what do you want us to do? Not do our job because it's you?
No.
You broke another law because of that, right? And you should know better. That's not a traffic ticket. That's an arrestable offense, Sandra. You know this.
Dorley, I mean, can you imagine? Where does this woman get off? She was caught going 55 miles per hour in a 35 miles per hour zone, and she didn't immediately stop, but she continued to her house about a mile away. The officer pursued with his lights and sirens on. In a statement on Thursday, she said she called the police chief from her vehicle so officers would know she wasn't a threat. In the body-worn camera, you heard her tell the officer she was on the phone with Dennis, telling him, why are you pulling me over? I gotta tell you, I mean, it seems like she was speeding, which is a violation of the law, and you shouldn't be able to get away with that just because you're the DA. But second, this woman comes across as so arrogant, so above the police here, so dismissive of laws that only regular people have to follow. I can't stand this woman. This woman, I don't know if she's up for re-election next year, or I know they may change this calendar of when local offices are up for re-election soon. This woman should not be the DA, and if I lived in Monroe County, I certainly would never vote for her again. Shame on this woman. Where does she get off?
Beam me up!
To be continued.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.